Rob, and welcome to East Lake. This is a church for everyone. And a lot of times people have misunderstandings about church. There's been some surveys and polls done, and in America, it turns out people are interested in Jesus, but not so interested in church. When they think of church, they think of a place with lame music and boring talks, and a place where people are using old-fashioned language of these and thous and shants and wherefore arts. You know, we'd be downwind from a wherefore art. And the whole thing is I can't relate. They won't accept me. I won't fit in. And we started East Lake in this area, this community, for that sort of a problem, knowing that there was a lot of people that were interested in knowing something about Jesus, even have a relationship with Jesus, but didn't want to go through the church to find it. Weren't interested in being a part of a church. So we started East Lake for that very reason. And take your notes out if you would. We're going to talk about this series that we're in. And we're talking about how do we help people find and follow Jesus? How does it work here? If you were to look in a recipe book about churches and you turn to East Lake, what would be the ingredients of East Lake? We talked about generosity and forgiveness and mercy and how it's a place where everyone can do their part. And this week, the ingredient is relationships. It's the big idea in your notes, right in. Church isn't a place to attend, it's a place to connect. So it's not just about coming to a Sunday event, and it's not just about being a part of something that happens on Sunday. It's a place for connection to happen. Because God has hardwired us for relationships. That's where all the change happens. The heavy lifting of growth happens in relationships. Let me prove it to you. Think of three sermons that have changed your life. Now think of three people. When I first became a Christ follower, I met Larry Abbott. Larry Abbott was a little older than me, and my perception of people that went to church is they were dorks and kind of geeks, and you know, I would never fit in with them, and they were the straighty-waities. And when I became a Christ follower, I met Larry, and Larry had a cool car. And he had an awesome job, and he had cool clothes, and everybody liked Larry, and he was super, super popular. And I got an idea that maybe, you know, maybe you could be cool, maybe you could not walk into the geek machine and still go to church and follow Jesus. In fact, what was great about Larry is that when you would talk with him, he would always mention the Bible. I'd never known anybody that read the Bible. In fact, I wanted to tell you, if you need a Bible, we have these free ones. You can grab them at the free table out there. They don't cost anything. You can grab a Bible. It's written in everyday language. And I'd never read the Bible. And Larry was really natural about how he would talk about the Bible. He was this really, I mean, just like really cool guy. He had like an awesome beard. but he read the Bible. I'd never met anybody like that. And it changed my life. I saw that maybe I could fit in too. Jim Meisner. Jim Meisner was way older than me. He was in his mid-50s. I was in my early 20s. And a bunch of us had gotten a house to live together, and Jim came and lived in the house too, a bunch of single guys. He was single. And Jim was kind of the house dad. And the thing I saw in Jim, because, I mean, the guys that had moved in, we were all just starting to follow Jesus. You know, when you start to follow Jesus, he welcomes you, and then you realize that your thinking doesn't completely align with his thinking, and the changes begin, you know, the wrestling matches begin. So James had this, you know, this kind of mob of young guys living with him, and this is what I noticed about Jim. This is how it changed my life. Jim could accept everybody, but not completely agree with their lifestyle. I had never met anybody like that. I wasn't like that. If I didn't agree with somebody, then I couldn't accept them. But Jim had been walking with Jesus for a long time, and he knew that it was possible to accept someone completely, but not affirm every choice they make, not agree with everything they do in their life, not condone the way they live, that it didn't have to be either or. What James taught me, Jim Meisner, was I could completely accept someone, and at the same time have some issues with their decisions. And that was okay. Jeff Quant was older than me. And Jeff was the picture of consistency, which I was not. I was the kid in school that rarely turned in his homework, and if he did, it was always late, and I couldn't keep my schedule together, and I couldn't find my clothes in the morning, and I was running late all the time, and I wanted to be this consistent guy, but I just couldn't get there. And then I met Jeff, and he was like a rock. I mean, when Jeff said he'd be there at 6, he was there at 5:45. When Jeff told you that something was going to occur, it occurred in his life. And I watched how he lived and how he kept his commitments. And here's what I learned from Jeff, is that everybody can be consistent. You just have to make a choice that what you have said is more important than what you actually at the time want to do. So I thought Jeff was hardwired for consistency. He's like, oh no. Like, when I tell somebody I'm going to be there at 6, I make it a priority. And when I want to do something different or I don't care, I've trained myself that my word matters most. Who are three people in your life that influenced you? Three people that have helped you change? See, at East Lake Church, we believe it's a network of relationships, that the heavy lifting. Change can happen in this hour, but the real change occurs in community, in the spiritual family, as we rub shoulders, as we do life together. Now the problem, of course, is that, there's the barriers and the walls that we put up and the fears that we have to really connect with each other, because it's easy to come to church and smile and how are you? I'm fine, even if your whole world's freaking falling apart. I'm good. In East Lake, we've committed to have something different. Look in the scripture. I want to read this first one to you. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. What the Bible says can happen is if you walk in community, that the good deeds begin to occur. So let's talk about how that can happen. Number one in your notes, write in, everyone is welcome. I'm going to read this first part out of the Bible. It's in your notes. Everyone is welcome. Here it is. Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Here's the good news. The Lord extends the cup to everyone. Everyone can have a drink. Now, at East Lake and in this room, there'll be people that are alcoholics or former alcoholics. There'll be people that drink too much and people that don't drink enough. There'll be smokers, and there'll be people that are struggling with lying. And there'll be people that have a past that they're ashamed of. There'll be people struggling with porn. And there'll be people in our midst at East Lake Church that are struggling in their marriages, and they don't want anybody to know it. And there'll be all sorts of people. There'll be lots of people here that are going through difficult things, and that's just the leadership team. This is a place for everyone. There'll be all sorts of people that come into this place as they catch the idea that this is a church for everyone. Now, the tendency is to minimize our contribution, is to think because of my past or the things that I've been through that I can't contribute. In fact, there's a saying that sometimes goes around, you have to be found worthy. And I wanted to say something to you today. You'll never be found worthy if it's based on your worthiness. You'll never be found worthy. You'll always disqualify yourself, and even on your best day, it's still Jesus. And if you think you're worthy and everything's going great, sure enough, somebody else in your life will come along and remind you that you're not. Because your place in His church is not based on your worthiness. Because the cup is extended to everyone, and we all equally get a drink. No one is better or worse than anyone else. You're worthy because Jesus says so. When He extends the cup to you to have a drink, that's your worthiness. Which creates great unity, by the way. It's nice to be a part of a church where not everybody has to look the same and act the same and raise their kids the same way and have the same type of house and, you know, talk the same way. Because you think that that would be what unity would come from. But isn't it true that the greatest form of unity comes when there's tremendous diversity? That's the real miracle. In our state, there's the symbol of the beehive. And it's a great symbol. Way back in the day, it means, you know, people are industrious and they work hard and everybody pulls together and it's just awesome, you know, this beehive and like the great unity. And that is, it's good. It's a great symbol. However, it can also mean conformity. When you think of a beehive, there's a lot of drones in there. I mean, I like the idea of the beehive as a symbol. I'm not so sure about serve the queen part. I don't know about that part. But I like the idea. But when it goes too far that we all have to look the same, little worker bees that don't think on our own, and we just sort of drone, and we march through life, and we all do the same, we serve the hive, that's not the church. The church is like our bodies. It works together, but I mean, think about how different the eye and the ear is. Think about how different your little toe is from your bicep. Your knee is such a different joint than your elbow. At East Lake Church, we believe everyone is welcome to dress a certain way, talk a certain way, raise your kids a certain way. That's not what matters. What matters is what unites us is we all get to drink from the same cup. The Spirit of God, capital S, is what unites us. So we have sayings at East Lake Church, come as you are, church for everyone, no perfect people allowed. And we ground those in so people will know in this place, because remember, all the people in our area, they're really interested in Jesus, but in their mind, they think, I have to go to church. And they're like, oh, I'll wait until I'm just about ready to die. I don't want to go there. Until they meet someone like you, then it can change. Number two, write in your notes, everyone belongs. We're going to share communion at the end. Three times a year, we do these membership gatherings, and so we get everybody together, and we talk about the nuts and bolts of East Lake Church. We have lunch together, and we always ask these two questions. First question is, how'd you find East Lake? And, you know, they write down, and you read them, and every time it's the same thing. Well, I knew somebody that went to East Lake. A friend invited me to come to East Lake, and the next question is, why did you stay? And it's always the same. You know, everybody was so nice to me. It was such a warm and friendly place. I felt accepted, so I just kept coming. This one guy, was a good one. He wrote, he sent it in, two questions. How did you find East Lake? And he said, well, I wanted to get back to church and see about God, and I searched and looked and looked, and every church I went to sucked. Next question, why'd you stay at East Lake? This church didn't suck as much. Okay. Go with that, I guess. And see, it's a place to belong. A place to belong. Look what the Bible says. Even so, the body is not made up of one part of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, circle belong, it would not for that reason stop to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Your contribution is unique. We're not a beehive. There's a way that God made you. There's a perspective that you bring. There's how he redeems your past. There's certain people that could only hear about Jesus through you. When they're with you, their walls are coming down. Somebody else that you might think is smarter, maybe they know more about the Bible or whatever, they wouldn't even get to first base, but there's something about you. So God created the body just how he wants it. And at East Lake Church, we believe that. There's not a model there's not a pattern of a believer here. Everybody needs to look like that. There's only one king, and that's Jesus. It's the famous funeral of the French king that he called himself the Great One. And he was. He took France to the heights of heights. And when he died, he had the total cathedral decked out in gold. beautiful gold casket, and he left instructions that there would be one candle on his casket, and the whole lights were to go out, and just this one candle on his casket, so everybody would know he was the great one, he was the great king. When the pastor came in to say a few words for everybody, the first thing he did is he walked out and he snuffed out the candle. And in the dark he said, there's only one king. And we believe that at East Lake, which gives us a lot of liberty. We believe that God has arranged your spot here. And I know sometimes it's easy to say, oh, not me. You know, I'm not even a little toe. But you're much more than that. And you, the ear can't say to the eye, I don't need you. Everyone is needed. This is a place for everyone, each person. Regardless of how it, and one of my favorite things about being at this place is how people begin to start to believe that. You first come, you hear it, and you go, yeah, yeah, yeah. But at some point, you really, as Jesus restores and heals, we believe that we all have hurts and hang-ups, but it's in relationship that God changes that. And we start to really catch our value, that we matter, that we're important. Can you imagine if in the morning your foot somehow could just say, I don't really matter anymore, and you stepped out of bed and you just fell right on the ground? And if your foot could talk, it just said, I've decided I don't matter, I'm depressed today, you don't need me. You're like, well, I would like to walk today. It's restoration. You got this idea of, you know, people peeking into the church and thinking if they ever could belong. And I told you the people that I knew that helped me feel like I could belong in church. And who do you know? And you know that they have an interest in Jesus, but it what their hang up is, I could never go to church. And if I ever did visit church, I never could belong there because I smoke. Some of the best churches are the ones that have lots of cigarette butts out front. Because you know that's a place where people believe that smoking a cigarette shouldn't be a barrier between them exploring their faith. That's just BS, which stands for baloney stuff. It's just not here. The whole idea here is to get those barriers out of the way so people can come in and they can discover this one thing. You love me, Jesus? With all my crap, you love me? After the kind of parent I was last week, after the lie that I told at work, after the kind of background, Jesus. And if they hear that long enough in their context and they start to believe it, at some point I start to think, you know, maybe he does want me to do something. Maybe he can use me. Maybe I can belong. Listen to this little letter. A father walks by his son's room. He notices with his parental instincts that something must be wrong. He peeks in and the room is spotless. Even the bed is made. Several alarms go off at once, especially when he sees a letter on the pillow with the word dad written on the envelope. Expecting the worst, he opens the letter and begins reading with trembling hands. Dear Dad, it's with great regret and sorrow that I'm writing you. I had to elope with my new girlfriend because I wanted to avoid a scene with Mom and you. I've been finding real passion with Stacy. She is so nice, and I knew you wouldn't approve of her because of her piercing and tattoos and tight motorcycle clothes, and the fact is, she's much older than I. But Dad, I love her. And not only that, Dad, she's pregnant. Stacy told me that she thinks we'll be very happy. She owns a trailer in the woods and has a stack of firewood all ready for the winter. We have a dream of having many more children. She's opened my eyes to the fact that marijuana doesn't really hurt anyone at all, and we're growing it ourselves and trading it with the other people in the commune. Don't worry, Dad. I'm 15, and I'm a man, and I know how to take care of myself. Someday, I'll be back for a visit, and I'm sure you'll get to know your grandchildren. Love, your son. P.S. Dad, none of the above is true. I'm over at Jason's house. I just wanted to remind you that there's worse things in life than the report card that's on the kitchen table. Call me when it's safe to come home. Gosh, I think if I was going to phrase East Lake Church, I'd say we're trying to call people and say it's safe to come home. They got all kinds of ideas. And we're the place, we're just trying to say, hey, it's safe to come home. Safe to come home. You can be here. Number three, right in your notes, everyone is changed. This is such good news. Let me read it to you. God did not choose us to suffer in his anger. Some of you have suffered in other people's anger. Some of you even now are probably suffering in someone's anger. And so when you hear this, I hope it's good news that you'll never suffer in God's anger. Some of us have been hurt and smashed, and we've been afraid, and we've lived very small lives to stay out of harm's way because someone's been angry. We walk on eggshells, and we just make sure we never light that fuse, because when they're angry, they're not very nice to be around. And it's such good news. God did not choose us to suffer in his anger. He didn't choose you to be someone that's angry and someone to suffer in your anger. And God has a great promise. He said, you'll never suffer underneath my anger. God chose us to have salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus died for us so that we can live together with him. It is not important if we are alive or dead when Jesus comes, so encourage each other and help each other grow stronger in faith, just as you were already doing. Great word for Eastlake, just as we were already doing. And write in your notes three things that can happen as we encourage each other, just as we're doing. I need to be known. So what happens if we choose to live in relationship is I need to be known. And I just kind of want to play my cards up front with you. I lived most of my early life making sure nobody really knew me. You know, very private. Because of the type of chaotic past that I came from with my family, I didn't want anybody to know about that. When I met Jesus when I was 20 years old, I would tell people would ask me about my parents, and I would say, I don't have any parents. I mean, that's how sick I was. Of course I had parents. Every baby has a parent. You know, I had a dad. He just had other things that he wanted more than me. I had a mom, just like everybody else. But she lost her struggle against drugs, and I took her away. I had parents. I just didn't want anybody to know my story. I had to stay very, very private. I didn't want anybody to know that one summer my family was homeless, that we lived in a campground. And then my two sisters and I slept in the back seat of the car. I didn't want anybody to know that. So I kept all that very, very private. And then because I didn't want anybody to know my past, it just kept pushing the walls further and further. And I didn't want anybody to know who I was in my present. I didn't want anybody to know what I was hoping for my future. So you can't compartmentalize, I don't want anybody to know me. You like to say, I don't want anybody to know my past, but it just keeps spreading, and pretty soon you don't want anybody to know anything. You just have a little sign out front that says, don't ask. I mean, I that's how it is. And then I met some people like me, and we decided to go on this journey to know Jesus. And they helped me start to realize that the walls that I had created, although they did protect me from some things, they kept some of the bad stuff from getting in. Walls also keep all the good stuff from getting in. Yeah, I kept some of the bad stuff out with my walls, but there was so much good stuff that couldn't come in because of my walls, because I didn't want anybody to know me. My parents did the best they could. They tried to make it seem like an adventure that we were camping the whole summer, but, you know, I wasn't going to be a rocket scientist someday when I was a little kid, but I could tell that other families came in for 2 weeks and then they left, and my family didn't. And to make matters worse, I was kind of a scrawny, small, skinny little smart-ass kid that was in bad need of a shower. And then you get dumped into adulthood, and that's your past, and you're like, And we step into Christ with that stuff. Now you need to hear something from me. In this church, we call that normal. We call that okay. We don't look down at that. Nobody gets ahead or nobody falls behind. Because we all drink from the same cup. You've got your stuff, I've got mine. The point is, because I know Jesus, am I willing to let someone start to know me? That's why we do these groups. We could, it's great to be in a large gathering. The bands come up here and they rock it and it's good and everything. But the change happens in this setting. You see somebody 2 or 3 weeks and finally you take a chance. My boss today was a complete idiot and scared me and told me I might get written up. And someone says, what happened to me last month? And I want to pray for you. And I'm going to track with you this week. And what's your goals? And or the kids are driving me crazy. I want to leave for like Saskatchewan now. And someone leans over and says, I barely made it here tonight because I almost locked them all away. It happens in this size. And I hope you'll consider it and step out and think about it. Because I know some people have the slip and slide approach to church. You slip into church and, kind of late, and then you slide out of church, and that's okay. I mean, it happens for a while. But at some point, you have to decide to connect and live in relationship. And this is how we do this, so people could know us. Number two is need to be supported. Talk about connections and relationships. I have some friends who have been following Jesus for a long time and very close and got to know him very well. And a few years ago, Clarice and I were just in a particularly difficult season. And our marriage goes up and down, and we were just in a very difficult season, And we were at their house playing nice, so everything's fine and great and everything. And my buddy, he starts to ask a few more personal questions to Clarice about stuff, about how things are going. He starts going a little bit deeper as he's talking to her. And I discovered something. It's very easy for me to talk about Clarice's issues. I mean, that's not hard for me at all. I mean, my wife's issues, and he was kind of probing her and what she was thinking. And I was just thinking, this is awesome. He's going to fix her finally, And I'm chiming in, and I found it so easy. And then the spotlight turned to me. And I was like, hey, this is Mr. Wonderful over here. What are you doing? And I noticed as you started to talk to me about my life, it wasn't as comfortable. When support started to come my direction and it meant, would you be willing to listen, it wasn't quite as comfortable as when we were talking about Clarice, my wife. But because I had known them, because we had walked through some stuff, because I'd seen some thing in their marriages through the years and their kids, and I was able to stay in my chair. And let me tell you, over the next couple days, gosh, I got some tremendous insights. I discovered that I had a blind spot about the size of Nebraska in the way I was being a husband. And as I let them talk to me and reflect for me, and as we shared. And you know why I could do it? Because we knew each other, man. But we had something. I had some roots with them that I could hang in there. And when I left, I was so grateful that we could have a breakthrough. Now, when you have people in the church that you know and you walk with, and they just don't see your Sunday morning smile, when the crap hits the fan, there's somebody there for you to talk you through it. And the third thing is I need to be challenged. I brought this sermon illustration today. It's a leaf blower. I love these things. I like the electric ones because you never have to do anything to the engine. And I like these because they're just so handy. I mean, you can clean up everything so fast. Wouldn't it be nice if you could just use these on your heart? Into your soul. No, nice and clean, you know. And yeah, I just love it. And, you know, years ago, I was out in the front yard, and I was just tidying up after I'd mowed. I was finishing up the yard work, and I had this thing going like crazy, and I was blowing it. And I looked up, and it seemed like Clarice was yelling. You know, my first thought was, if I fake it, pretending it's too loud to hear, or I better listen. So I turned it off, and she comes walking. She said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm blowing the stuff away here. I'm almost done." And she said, "Well, where do you think it goes?" And I was like, "Away." She just goes over in his yard over there, which never occurred to me. Have you ever had anybody solve a problem and it caused a problem for you? Ever had that happen? It's like they go ahead and solve one of their problem goes away, and now you've got a big problem. And they don't even ever see it. All they're focused on is their own problem. And now their problem has gone away, and they're happy, and it never even occurs to them. They don't even see. I didn't even realize that half my yard was in this guy's sidewalk. So my wife showed me. I'm sharing this story with Jeff Quant, Mr. Consistent. We're laughing, having a good time. I told my wife, told me, I went over and swept it up, you know, and everything was fine. And about 4 or 5 months later, we're going through some stuff, and there was some things happening with some people, and there were some problems occurring, and I decided I was going to handle it a certain way. And I'll never forget Jeff come up by my office and standing in the doorway, and he said, "Listen, because I don't think you're handling this correctly the way it is happening with these people." I said, "What do you mean? You know, I'm solving the problem." He goes, "Yeah, just like you used that blower." He goes, you're making it go away, but you're causing a lot of problems for other people. By the way, you're solving your own." And he challenged me. So we gotta be challenged. And I know in life, that's the hard part, huh? It's like, don't challenge me, just love me. Remember, come as you are. But in this church, it's not stay as you are. Wouldn't that be terrible? If you had a church where you could come as you are, but that's the best it ever got. At Eastlake, come as you are, but you don't have to stay as you are. When you connect, you can be challenged. I needed to hear that from Jeff that day. I needed to think it through and realize, you know what? This is more complex than I'm making it. I need to hit the pause button. I need to go have some conversations, and I need to listen. And I need to approach this much differently. Now, that is a long, long ways from the kid that used to sleep in the back seat with his two little sisters, with parents that cooked the meal over the open campfire. That is a long, long ways that Jesus has brought me. That he's redeemed that past. That there's something about me now in my relationships that I could stop. Listen, when you were raised like that, you want quick fixes, man. I grew up looking for them. And when someone steps into your life and says, "Listen, you're going to have to take the long route. You can't solve this like this." Your initial reaction is like, no. But because of what it's meant to be with Jesus, what it's meant to be with people, I could go forward a whole different way that was not anchored in my past. And so can you. Now look here at the bottom line, because this is really the bottom line. Everyone needs to engage in community. And I'll read it to you. Your life in Christ makes you strong. Gosh, circle that. That's a promise. If anybody came in this week, you're like, "Man, I don't know if I got enough steam." Relax and say to yourself, "I don't. I'll never be strong enough. But in Christ, your life in Christ makes you strong, and his love comforts you. You have fellowship with the Spirit, and you have kindness and compassion for one another. I urge you then to make complete happy by having the same thoughts, sharing the same love, being one in soul and mind. Don't do anything from selfish ambition or from cheap desires to boast, but be humble towards one another, always considering others better than yourselves, and look out for one another's interests, not just for your own.